think that he can be his own Savior. Oh, you know, the grace of God is preached. The love of God is preached. The work of Christ is preached. But what is it that man wants to do? He wants to do something so that he knows that he can be brought into favor with God. Hear this man. He lay there 38 years. It's much like Israel of old. You know, there were 2 years that they went through the wilderness. But there were 38 years that they were wandering around. Wandering, dying off. How solemn it is. This world is a place where people die. And they're estranged from God. And is there no hope? Is there no help? He made this statement here. When Jesus saw him lying and knew that he had now been a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Ah, you know, there's a longing created in the heart when he doesn't have peace, when he's estranged from God, and he knows that God is a holy God and he has to do with him. The question is, wilt thou be made whole? Will you lower yourself to be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. You know, it kind of reminds me of a friend that I had when I was a boy. I spoke to him, and I said, Roland, why aren't you saved? He and I were raised in the same Sunday school. He and I had the same privileges. I'd like to have you turn with me to Psalms 142, and we'll read a little bit about this plight.
I thought I was loud enough. 142, please. We'll read the psalm. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Ah, here tonight we'd like to tell you there is one who cares for your soul. Even if you don't care for your own soul, there's one who does care for your soul. And that's God. You know, it's a very interesting verse in 1 Peter chapter 4. We read these words, that those that have believed and have committed their souls unto the keeping of him as unto a faithful creator. You know, God didn't bring man into this world and then just say, well, I don't care about him. Even though he knew man would fall, he had a care for man. I'll read the verse. 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. You know, in the time of Nineveh, when Jonah was sent to Nineveh, there when Jonah didn't have the satisfaction of pronouncing a curse upon that city, you know, God told Jonah, he says, there's a city of so many thousand people, and also so many thousand that didn't know their right hand from their left hand. God had a care for those people. And God has a care for your soul too. You know, He's made a provision for it. Thank God there's a provision made for our souls in the Lord Jesus Christ. Roland said, no man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. You know, Roland, he got cancer, and he was dying, and he called for somebody to preach the gospel to him, and he got saved. Oh, you know, what is it that would cause a man to want to have his soul saved? It's the imminence of judgment that's ahead of him. It's not love for God that would cause him to do that. So I'd like to have you sing with me number 42 in the back here. No, pardon me. Number 34 in the hymn book. We can sing that together. You know, that's the story of a lady by the name of Frances Ridley Havergal. She was raised in a Christian home, and she said she didn't know how to be saved. She didn't know what... Her father was a preacher. You know, it's like that verse in 2 Corinthians 4, it says, and if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in unto them. How solemn it is to be blind. To your sins, to be blind to your enmity toward God, to be blind to the grace of God. So she composed this little hymn after she found that there is a way. There is an ample provision for you tonight. And here we'll sing about it. 34.
Precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for me. Precious, precious blood of Jesus,
dependent on that bed to lift it up and carry it off. You know, that made the Jews unhappy. Man likes to see men in trials and troubles and burdened, but you know, God would like to set you free. You know, there was a man dying one time, and he said he sure wanted to be saved. But he said he didn't want God to do anything wrong in saving him. And so the preacher turned to Romans chapter 3. And we'll read that verse together. Help. Help. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now here's the verse. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, that means being justified without a cause in us. You know, we're saved at God's charges. God is the one who's undertaken our cause to save us. God is the one who sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. And you know, the cross of Christ has a twofold side to it. One of them is man's side. Man's side was to take the Lord Jesus Christ and hang Him there and said, away with this man. We will not have this man to reign over us. You know, there are seven sayings in the gospel about the Lord Jesus that were said about Him, and they were derogatory except for one. The thief that was dying next to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said of Him, this man hath done nothing amiss. You know, tonight, if you're going to be saved, it's going to have to be on the account of the obedience of one. Through one man's disobedience, many were brought. Read it. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Oh, that's one side of the cross. The other side of the cross was the voluntary side of where the Lord Jesus gave Himself as a ransom for our souls. Oh, thank God He went there. He shrank from being made sin. He could say to His Father, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But no, it had to be. God's righteousness, God's holiness, had to be satisfied. There had to be a sacrifice. You know, all the sacrifices of the Old Testament, when they were given, they couldn't put away sin. David could say in Psalm 51, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, else would I have brought it. You know, God has brought His own offering. In Hebrews chapter 1, we read these lovely words. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, when He had by Himself made purgation for sins. Oh, my friend, we were too poor to bring to God anything that would satisfy Him. God has found His satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you found satisfaction in Him? Oh, you know, you might know all about the work of Christ. You might know of His atoning work. But oh, how does it apply to you? How can I get the interest in that precious blood? You know, there's two things that are necessary. One of them is the sufficiency of the work of Christ to save your soul. And the other one is the grace that will receive you. You know, someone has well said, I've never read in Scripture of any sinner that came to the Lord Jesus Christ in his sins, in all his ruin, who was rebuffed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how precious that is. The Lord Jesus has made himself available. You know, we read in Luke chapter 18, the narrative of someone else who came to the Lord. Sorry, wrong book. Verse 35, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood. And Jesus stood. Oh, think of it. The Lord Jesus will stand at the cry of a poor blind beggar. He'll hear your cry. Maybe you're ashamed and you won't admit it to somebody else, but you're troubled about your soul. But the Lord Jesus will hear your cry. He'll stand still. He'll stand still. You know, every bring that soul to blessing. He had to pay for the sins of. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be assured that he had to die for those sins. He had to put them away by the sacrifice of himself. We read, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Oh, I'd like to tell you that you're welcome to come to him tonight. Now I'd like to turn to a portion that in a way is a favorite of mine. It illustrates, I believe, the gospel in a way like none other. 2 Kings chapter 6. And it came to pass, verse 24, after this, that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, Help, my lord, O king. And he said, If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, or out of the winepress? And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son, and did eat him. And I said unto her, On the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. You know, here was a straitened circumstance. Here was a place where there was no escape. It reminds of us of Jericho, of the city of Jericho, it says, and Jericho was straitly shut up. None could go out, and none could come in. You know, I can remember as a boy asking myself, why was I brought into this world? Have you ever asked a question like that of yourself? Here I am. I'm born into this world, and I'm a sinful boy. I've done things. You know, I can remember as a boy, one time a boy dropped a dime in the playground, and I snatched it up and put it in my pocket. Went home, and on the way home, I bought some candy. But you know, there was not much comfort in that, because that night I couldn't stand it anymore. I cried out, Mom, I stole something. I stole something. I sinned. You know, we might think that we're all right, but just the temptation Satan would put there in front of you. One sin thrust Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. And one sin will shut you out of heaven for all eternity unless that sin is pardoned. Oh, how solemn that is. Jericho was straitly shut up. This city here, it was straitly shut up. And there was no resources left. No resource in themselves. We find, then he said, and it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes and he passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Then he said, God, do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha the son of Shaphat shall stand on him this day. Oh, you know, people blame God. Blame God for their troubles. I remember my mom telling me they were in Germany just after the war. And they sat at a table in Bavaria, and a big Bavarian comes up to him and says, can't you sit with us? Aren't you just, are you better than we are? So my mom and sister, they sat next to the Bavarians at their table. My mom gave thanks for the food. One woman looked at my mom and said, what, you still believe in God? I don't believe in God anymore. I lost my husband and four sons in the last war, and I don't believe in God anymore. Oh, my friend, think of it. Do you think that in providence, do you think in the circumstances of life that you will find God manifested? Ah, here's where God's manifested. For God so loved the world that takes you in. That he gave his only begotten son. Oh, God is in love. He gave his only, the darling of his bosom, to be crucified, to be a hiding place for you and for me. Do I understand it? Do I enter into the depth of it? No. But God does. God did. God knew what it took to put your sins away in mine. And the Lord Jesus, he died for the glory of God and so that you might have a hiding place. God didn't consult with you or me to see whether we liked his way or not, but he gave his son from his bosom to be a hiding place for sinners like you and me. All were welcome to come to the Lord Jesus. Because he says that whosoever believeth on him, whosoever stretches himself out on him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, Mr. Patton, a missionary to New Guinea, one time went on a hunt with some natives, and they killed a fallow deer, and they were carrying this deer through the jungle. And it was a hot day, and they came upon a green place in the grass. And the native threw himself down on the grass. He said, "My, it's good to be able to stretch yourself out here." You know, Mr. Patton, he was trying to make a translation of the Bible, and you know, there was no word that he could find for belief. And so John 3:16 came to be written, "For God so loved the world that he gave himself, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever stretches himself out on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Oh, my friend, we have a man. God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior at tremendous cost to himself. And oh, for you to turn aside from that, to turn aside from the Savior, is a very solemn, solemn thing, because there is no other Savior. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, but thank God he's available. You know, there was one time a lady, a woman, she was dying. And she sent her little daughter to go to the preacher to get her in, to get her mother in. The mother didn't want to go to hell. She wanted to go to heaven. She'd heard about the Lord Jesus, and she thought for sure that the preacher would be able to get her into heaven. And she came, and it was a rainy night, and she knocked on the preacher's door and says, "Can you get my mother in? Can you get my mother in?" And the preacher says, looked out the door and says, "What's the matter? Is your mother drunk or something?" She said, if she's drunk, go get the policeman. He'll take care of her." She said, No, my mother's dying. And she's afraid to die. And she wants to go to heaven. And she doesn't know how. And she wants you to get her in." The preacher, he was a fashionable preacher. And he worked he preached in a fashionable church. And he told the people the way to get to heaven was to get yourself there by being good, by doing right things. And then you'll get to heaven. In other words, save yourself. The preacher said, "What am I going to do? This woman, she has no character. She doesn't have good habits. She's been a drunkard. What am I going to do? And she wants me to get her in." You know, he thought back to what his mother had taught him. His mother had taught him that the Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says his mother taught him, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And God is ready and willing to save us if we'll come to him. The preacher said, "You know, I'm going to tell this woman these things." And he told the woman these things. And the woman says, "Yes, but my sins. Said, "You know, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin." Oh, thank God She said, well, oh, good. She said, you know, I think that will do. He says, now, preacher, you pray, and I'll pray with you. And the preacher, he got down on his knees. He prayed. He says, while I was getting her in, I got in myself. Oh, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, we must be saved or we perish eternally. But thank God he's made the way from his own side. And here we find it. In the 7th chapter. Pardon me. The 6th chapter, reading from 33. And while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him. And he said, behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer? Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. Oh, it's a sin not to believe. You know, we read in John's Gospel, I think it's the 12th chapter, the Lord Jesus could say of sin because they believe not on me. Of sin because they believe not on me. Man is responsible to believe God. And God makes a declaration of what Christ has done. Here we find, and there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Ah, you know what they did? They tried mercy. And they found mercy at the hands of God because God made the way open for them. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. But when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for the life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried then silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again, and entered into another tent, and carried then also, and went and hid it. They said one to another, we do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said to his servants, I will now show you what the servants Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry, therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field. Ah, What unbelief, how suspicious unbelief is of the Word of God. But all these men, they were perishing. So they tried mercy, and they found it. May in the extremity of your case before God, that you may try mercy and find abundant mercy, because God has cleared the way through the work of the cross. The Lord Jesus has died, and He's risen again, and now in heaven He says to the sinner, come unto me. The door is still open. The Lord Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And oh, friends, think of it. That door is open because of the work of Christ. Otherwise, that door would be shut. God has made the door open. You're welcome to come to the Lord Jesus. Here we find again that one who said, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? Oh, unbelief! How Satan would have us to be unbelieving of the goodness that's in the heart of God. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Oh, God has not spared the Lord Jesus Christ. I would just like to read two more verses here. Verse 16, and the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of God. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate. And he died as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. All the gospel is that God is ready to meet you. The work is done, and the Lord Jesus invites you to Himself. But I'd like to turn to 3 scriptures. Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? Oh, God's salvation is not to be trifled with. He's made that way for us at such a cost to Himself. I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. It's one thing to despise the law, but it's another thing to despise the grace of God. He that despised, verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under 2 or 3 witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words which Boethius had heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. Oh, God has given the blood of sprinkling. It's your privilege to come by that sprinkled blood. Plead that blood for yourself. God has given it, and He's told us to come by that way. And it says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Last verse of the chapter, for our God is a consuming fire. Just like to say one more thing, we're done. Come for certain blessings. Stay away at your peril. Come for certain blessings. Stay away at your peril. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we own to Thee that the word is but feebly spoken. But we do pray that Thou wouldst by Thy Spirit use Thy word for the blessing of souls. It's Thy intent that souls should be saved, and that Thou dost desire souls to be saved, for Thou hast said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me. Oh God, think of it, that thou hast thy will. Thou wouldst that men turn to thee, and we pray that thou wouldst grant that there be no rest for souls until they rest in thee. We ask these things and give thanks and commit the time to thee in Jesus' name. Amen.